What's up, Pocket Dudes? Welcome to Pokemon Go to the Movies, the Pokemon movie podcast from us here at the Gig Boost Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dan Video Games, and with me is Bob.
I want to go home.
Chris Wolfhard.
They've given up.
Dr. Agro.
This is to Pokemon Go even further beyond.
And Millennium Mike's very own Shiba Yagato.
Nostalgia bait. Yum.
This time we reviewed the 16th Pokemon movie, Genesect and the Legend Awakened, or as it's known in Japan, Pocket Monster's Best Wishes, the movie Extreme Speed Genesect Mewtwo Awakens.
I mean, all that's accurate.
The best wishes part is clever. They should have branded that over here.
I don't know. I feel like that's the dumbest part.
It's a little bit too goofy for me personally.
They also call that era of the anime Pokemon best wishes because it's black and white.
Yeah.
I appreciate some signifier to let me know when I can stop being on edge.
I think we've reached the point where they've given up with these movies.
What?
Because all of the movies up until the last one, Q Room and the Sword of Justice, were 90 minutes or longer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then Q-Rim is like 72, and this is like 72.
In fairness, Q-Rim could have been 30, and it would have been a better movie.
I know.
So could this one.
I don't know. The pacing on this one was much better than the last one, at least. We'll get into it.
Yeah. Yes. For people who don't know, this Pokemon movie podcast, is there another, actually talks about the entire plot. We do a quick synopsis, and then we have our world famous metrics on which we judge each and every one of these Pokemon movies. We have the whimsy meter. We have the dex check. How good's Pokedex representation this time? We have the gun check. Could this problem have better been solved with a firearm? Perhaps a normal-sized pistol? Unclear. The MVP, most valued Pokemon, is Ash in a coma, RCXX Machina. And of course, then we have to rate the movie on a patent-pending regional Pokedex number scale. And later, we will debate whether or not it is a 5th-gen scale or a 6th-gen scale. But we have so much to talk about, so let's get into it. As usual, the world of Pokemon. Actually, no, we do not open with the world of Pokemon this time. Instead, we open with Mewtwo, who's flying and glowing and a girl? Question mark? This is quite the choice, given we already had a canonical voice for Mewtwo in the movies.
Right, and they're also not acting like you expect Mewtwo to act. They're acting almost like a cocky kid. Like, it's weird.
It is.
Here's how I read that. I read it as Team Rocket did this shit a second time because the first one wasn't enough. Because Mewtwo should know Ash. If this is the same Mewtwo from the first movie, that it should see Ash and go, "Hey, old pal, what's going on?" And then Ash is like, "Do I fucking know you?" But instead, this one just acts like a complete stranger.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really bizarre choice because they make so much of the origin very, very identical that it's like if... It's how do I put this? It's like if someone in Freakazoid had the exact origin story of Freakazoid, but wasn't him or his arch nemesis, because Mr. Gutierrez also somehow ends up with the exact same origin power.
It's weird.
Mewtwo rewound time. Maybe Mewtwo rewound their own time also and then transitioned, and that's why they have an entirely different voice now.
I mean, good for her.
Yeah, right?
Like, I don't know.
That's cool. I would rather cover that. That seems like a better story than all of the rest of this.
Then why did they ditch all of the friends that they were allegedly taking to protect?
Look, they were all Gen 1s. They were from a different time.
Oh, no! Agro, no!
Oh, God.
They were clones, so they had a life expectancy of like 2 weeks. That never came up in the movie.
See, oh, I was God. Just going to say it's been, what, like 15 years canonically? Those Pokemon do not live that long.
So sad.
Oh, no.
Longer than that.
Oh, my Ash God. Is a 50-year-old man now. Anyways, so Mewtwo's cocky, you know, kid-like behavior with a very feminine voice goes, "Do you think you can keep up with me? I'm going to speed up," and keeps going super fast through the air while birds are there. But then starts glowing and the flying into the atmosphere and looking cool, and the frame rate tanks because
it's like five frames for this transformation.
I can't tell whether it's budget cutting or epilepsy prevention or both, but they sure cut some corners here. It's a circle now, and then it just turns into Mew 3, as we all know and love the form added for Pokemon X and Y. It is weird. I was going to make the Mew 3 joke, and then when the other form would show up, call that Mew 4, but it doesn't show up. It's just...
They knew which one was more marketable for Mewtwo.
I find the other one funnier, personally.
It's very funny. It's just one of them is better, objectively.
I always figured the other one was the more marketable one because it's the more like DBZ.
They're both... Frieza forms of Mewtwo, so...
Right, but the other one's like, literally, I'm going to punch you.
It's true. That one's going to be locked in a fight with, like, I don't know, PyCon the whole movie.
But I guess this looks more masculine, and they were going for something else this time.
Yeah, they had a vision.
I was surprised they turned back. Like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, this is the reveal, and I'm going to be this for the whole movie.
So in the middle of Mew 3 being cool and flying around super fast, we cut to some icy mountains where there are some vehicles that looked like, I don't know, Genesect? They're just flying through icy canyons, but they untransform, and these are in fact just Genesect, and that's cool, and one of them's a shiny one,
uh-huh.
And then there are four purple ones, and they hang out on this cliff in this icy mountain. One of them's like, I want to go home. I don't want to be here anymore. And for some reason, Mewtwo picks up on this, of all things. It's like when Superman picks up on somebody having a mild problem on Earth.
Right? Also, the Genesect can all talk, because I guess they can.
They're legendaries, and this is a fifth-gen legendary movie. We will have a 9-minute opener with legendaries talking to each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped.
They should all be fired.
That Genesect said, I want to go home. And I was like, I'm already here, but I feel you, bro.
Mewtwo flies into lower orbit and starts freezing up like Ash.
And then realize it's not a Porygon.
Right? Not a lot of people are suited, arguably, for interspace travel like Porygon is. A voice in Mewtwo's brain keeps going off, I want to go home, and they sense, you know, the Genesect. It's, an avalanche starts happening there, though, and Mew 3 arrives just in time at super speed to go, I can save all of them but you. The shiny one is not saved from the avalanche, and I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. Probably could have prevented the movie if you just saved the shiny one. Seems like that one was the one in charge. But Mew 3, super fast, just traveling. So you can tell this is one of those Goku has become so fast we have to slow everything down to show how fast he moves compared to everything else.
Yeah, he's in the Quicksilver dimension from those X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mew 3 saves the four other Genesect from the avalanche. Mewtwo asks why they came here. But Genesect says this was their home, remembering it beautiful and green. The leader Genesect jumps in and attacks and says that Mewtwo needs to leave them alone. Mewtwo extends the hand outward in a way that my brain's like, Kieris? But then the main...
Yes, I also thought that exact thing.
Good! We're all there! Awesome.
Well, that's the thumbnail, everybody.
Yeah, one and done.
You know, I never got Genesect. Is there more than fucking one of them?
I think GameStop gave out the cards so you could have more than one of them.
Like, I'm looking at the Pokedex, and first of all, how fucking bizarre is it? This, like, yeah, they were Team Plasma stuck the cannon on its back. They aren't in this movie, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, yeah. They show their insignia.
Yeah, they show that they did this, and then they never mention it again.
It's literally every single Pokedex, even the Gen 6 ones from X and Y and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, are like, yeah, Team Plasma stuck a cannon on its back.
Yeah, but that would require having human characters that could have some agency and move the story.
Right.
Instead,
for some reason...
The moment that Genesect started talking, I was like, fuck you, no, that's too much. That's too many.
I mean, yeah, we just came from a movie where five legendaries all talk to each other. At this point, I'm convinced there's like some sort of weird story impetus that they're like, people can't be the problem. The strife must be between Pokemon and other Pokemon, or Pokemon and humans. The bad guy cannot be some rich douchebag. That's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering what in the world we're going to do next time. I'm very excited. Anyways, so Avalanche happens. Save it. They get mad. Mewtwo cares. But then they attack Mewtwo. Birds show up and they're Mewtwo's friends, apparently. And this is when I wonder, where the hell are the clones? We already answered that question. The Genesects, after attacking, immediately fly away towards the city. And as they look on the city, they see it from a different time, thinking back on that. And then the title card sequence happens. And oh, man, these are pretty low rent. I wonder if the Japanese one looked good.
They usually do.
So that timed out to 9 opening minutes of legendaries talking to each other. And I hope this trope ends. Anyways, now we get the incredible world of Pokemon. And this time we have film strips of photos of Pokemon that form double helixes and multiple strains are there. And it immediately ends. This thing's like 20 seconds. We're already in with Ash and crew. Pikachu sees water on a leaf and Axew is delighted. Pokemon, fun fact, love water. Everybody's real jazzed about how nice the day is as they travel through what is blatantly Central Park.
Yeah.
it's not, oh, this is clearly based on that's just fucking Manhattan. Yeah. What are we doing?
Okay, but it leads to one of the best shots in these movies that we've had in a while. Mm-hmm. So I will allow it.
Now, that's a reminder to the audience. This is taking place in the Pokemon region, as the movies call them Unova, because they can't pronounce anything right. The region that is for the United States cannot be pronounced Unova. So we're in Unova, or whatever they called it in the other movie, and we're in Central Park.
Yeah, weirdly, they did not say the region or city name, as far as I heard.
Yeah, I don't think they said that once this whole movie, which is very, very weird. Normally, they cannot shut the fuck up about what city they're in and what city they're on the way to.
Well, they've given up, as we established.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a great and beautiful day as they travel through Central Park. They run into a park guide. His name is Eric. They do introductions to each other. They're getting to see this cool thing in the middle of Central Park before it's open to the public, which Silen calls the chance of a lifetime. Ash says, I don't see a chancy. Iris goes to make fun of him, but then the universe said, fuck you, Iris, and a chancy appears.
No, that's genuinely a good bit. That brought a smile to my face.
Yes.
Cosmically, Iris must never win. Apparently, this weird structure in the middle of Central Park is called Pokemon Hills. That's the place they're visiting, and it has many biomes for many Pokemon and many different flowers and things. They're like, oh, look at this vegetation. Oh, this is so cool. You know who has many Pokemon, Bob?
Who's that?
Our main cast, who pulls them out, and then a musical starts. Hooray!
Oh my god, I would never expect that. I hope the song is good.
Keep dreaming, Bob. Keep dreaming. One day it'll be true.
I wrote down some choice lyrics, as always. The Pokemon start having fun in the water and stuff and hanging out with each other and doing things. And the born-again Christian music cuts in. It's like, it's the next chapter, the ultimate goal. Ready for battle, brave and bold. And I'm like, I want out. How do they do this? They knock it out every time.
Like, it had nothing to do with the movie this time. I feel like last time they at least pretended to try. Here it's just like,
If you listen to these lyrics, okay, I know we're gonna make it, save the day. One story ends and another begins. Is Ash gonna die?
I don't know.
Dan, I can't understand the lyrics to these songs because if I listen too closely, I get teleported into a church and I'm watching some dude who's 32 on a skateboard at the podium trying to talk to me about how Jesus is rad.
Apparently, they could never do it without our friends. Oh. That's right. This does the millennial whoop, which I had to look up the term for in the middle of it. Or was that only the ending song that does the millennial whoop? Anyways, they go, oh, we've come so far. We've fought so hard to get where we are. And then I'm completely done writing lyrics because they have stopped trying entirely. At least before, it would have a vague energy of, this is a Pokemon adventure. I loved our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This doesn't even rise to that level. So anyways, the music number ends. Everything's cool. Everything's neat. They have a hedge maze. They're like,
which
oh,
we never this... see that I can tell. Did Ash ever get to that maze?
He runs into the maze immediately.
Yeah, he solves it instantly. And then the Sableye kind of just runs through it. Like, it just skips it.
Okay.
So, do you think Ash might be part Minotaur?
Is that where his immense strength comes from?
Yeah, he's really strong. His solution to most problems is to just slam into it, and he cannot be lost in a maze.
Foolproof argument. I can't counter that.
Ash once again finds his way to the center. His friends and stuff are lagging behind a bit, and Genesect is just hanging out next to this little lake he walks up to. It's one of the purple ones. Pikachu looks at it. It turns into a jet. Ash is uncertain that it's a Pokemon, so he stands on it.
Yes, as you do.
Does he do this in every region? I don't know that those keys are Pokemon. Give me 1 second. Starts crushing them beneath his foot.
God.
Yeah, it seems to be in pain. I guess this is a Pokemon. Little did we know that's the litmus test. If a thing is a Pokemon in this universe if it knows fear. Pokemon apparently are judged by their ability to turn into hovercrafts, which is what Genesect becomes. And we basically get a sort of like Back to the Future hoverboard on water moment as Ash is like, whoa, yippee, wow, wowie zowie, and just flies around the lake for a bit. And this is like their weird force whimsy segment. I think it's so mild. It's so mild.
Yeah, it's here like almost out of obligation. It's a movie I've seen. You've seen in a dozen of these movies at this point.
It's like imagine most Pokemon movies, or many of them, we had like Studio Ghibli food and like fine banquets, right? And then this movie's like, well, we need that scene. Have a hash stop at Burger King. So the whimsy ends. We're done with that segment. Genesect starts being sad about not being able to go home. Ash is like, are you lost? And there's like maybe a communication disconnect, and Ash needs to explain what being lost is. So he goes, mommy, mommy, where are you? And I'm like, that's a stream sound. Silent and Iris run up, and Genesect transforms back into the hovercraft. Axew says its name a couple times, and Genesect is sad, says it wants to go home. Ash wants to help get it home. Iris points out he doesn't fucking know where that is. Doesn't want to help. Ash then's like, hey, if it was a lost child, you wouldn't abandon a lost child. What if Pokemon were people? Pretty crazy, right? The other Genesect shows up, and when Ash says, see, your friends are here, you're going to be okay, and pats Genesect on the head, a battle breaks out because Genesect Prime is fucking pissed. Genesect Prime compels Genesect Purple to attack Ash, and Ash is like, come on, man, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? And then Mew 3 appears and saves them by psychically blocking the shot. Start the counter.
Right.
1. The Genesect fly away after the explosion comes off. Certain of the fact that Mew 3, it did not arrive, and that Ash is dead, and they did a good job, and they should leave immediately. Mew 3 then becomes Mew 2, and we get a bunch of lore asking. Mew 2 just goes, hey, you all right? And Ash is like, yeah, we're fine. He's like, I don't care about you. I'm talking to the Pokemon. I don't care about humans. I care about Pokemon. Mew 2 doesn't recognize Ash. Ash doesn't recognize Mew 2. The movie doesn't make a thing out of this. This is just something I'm dealing with as the viewer. Mew 2 then explains. Is this the moment, Bob, where you made the joke about the ghost of Robot Christmas Futures Past or whatever? And I'm like, you need to stop bringing Aqua Teen into everything we do.
I think that was when the Genesect were explaining their past.
See, it's confusing because Mewtwo's about to go 300 million years ago.
That's true.
Yeah, they both kind of, but the Genesect do kind of have like the limbs that move in similar ways.
Yeah, and whatever scene it was, Fog did show up immediately when I said that.
Yeah, and I'm pissed at you still. Anyways, Mewtwo explains that 300 million years ago, Genesect were Pokemon, and then their fossils were around in Team Plasma, resurrected them, and just grafted a cannon onto them. And they didn't show that part.
And I guess that Team Plasma and sometime in the Aetherium just completely shut down and erased themselves.
Unclear.
Yeah, they got their shit wrecked by like six Genesect.
Yeah, I'm sure those Genesects burned the building and everyone in them to the ground.
No, we just weren't in the movie where Hilda and Hilbert beat all their asses. Like, they were doing Jackie Chan in Super Cop shit on them, and we just didn't get to see any of that.
Then Mewtwo, after just explaining how Genesect was a real Pokemon that lived 300 million years ago and was revived via the fossil, then goes, I am also a Pokemon created by people. And I go, bro, that is different from what we're talking about here. Genesect were a real Pokemon they grafted a gun onto. You are science's horrible mistake.
No, it's the same, I swear.
All right. Somebody puts a hat on a fucking Onyx, and Mewtwo's like, we are the same. Worth noting. Yeah, all of that stuff I just said. Anyways, Mewtwo flees. Team Rocket is outside of the hole that the explosion caused that our main group fell into for a bit there. And they get knocked on their ass by Mewtwo fleeing, and I swear to God, every time they show up. You know that Burger King joke I just made? That again. So anyways, Team Rocket is convinced they'll be able to get the Genesect and make an army, and it will be led by Mew 3. Wouldn't that be cool?
No.
Team Rocket watched too many TikTok videos on how to do a good business.
They do make some pretty good faces in this scene, though.
Yeah, they put a decent chunk of the budget of this movie towards the one sequence Team Rocket gets for this one, because it's the mandate of Nintendo that Team Rocket gets at least 2 minutes of screen time per movie now, even if they have no actual bearing on the plot.
We get a pretty good Meowth.
Yeah, that's a pretty yeah. peak Meowth face.
Yeah.
The new Meowth and Jesse have both gotten pretty pitch perfect.
Mm-hmm.
James is still not very good. Which is weird, because I think James is also Meow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. Real Scooby-Doo's voice actor is also Shaggy's voice actor moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, they also don't remember Mewtwo. Anyway.
God, come on.
Anyways, as they're having this conversation, they say the word chance, and a Chansey walks by.
Yeah.
My hero.
Meanwhile, Nurse Joy saw some YouTube shorts that morning, and they need to ask, hey, do you know Genesect and Mewtwo? And she's like, no, that hasn't popped up in the algorithm yet, and keeps swiping through.
I keep putting it into Google, and then it just keeps not telling me anything. Maybe we should try Bing, and then they just don't.
Man, I'm really glad Nurse Joy didn't just know the entire backstory.
Yeah. Why can't they get the Nurse Joy that knows every legendary's entire life history somehow?
These two are off the radar.
Yeah, because she's off in Sinnoh. The Nurse Joy who hyperfixated on knowing everything about every legendary ever conceived is out in Sinnoh. We're not going to trek all the way out there.
I don't know. They did that twice in the fifth gen movies, didn't they? Because they did it last time where it was like, hey, what's up? I met Kaldeo. And they're like, oh, cool. I just watched YouTube shorts on Kaldeo. Here you go. I'll just show them to you. I can't remember if the other one was the prior fifth gen movie. Anyway, so we're in this, you know, Nurse Joy office, because it doesn't look like a normal Pokemon Center. It has the back room for seemingly repairing Pikachu, who right. got roughed up during the battle. And behind Nurse Joy on the wall is a very obvious painting with flowers. They're like, hey, what's the deal with that? And Eric explains, you know, he did a painting of a place he went to once with flowers.
Well, they're old flowers.
They're so old. At night, Genesect start attacking the Pokemon at Pokemon Hills, which, in case I didn't cover it, Pokemon Hills was the name of the structure at the center of Central Park.
Yeah, it's where you send your retired Pokemon.
Genesect start covering the place in goo. I'm like, this movie better not feature a lot of Genesect shooting goo. Oh, boy. So apparently the goo hardens and forms like weird oak veins.
You guys make a big old cocoon.
Yeah, they're making a weird cocoon. And I'm like, I didn't think this is like, this is a Pidoo thing. Like, I didn't think this would be a Genesect thing. Why is it so spiderly? I don't. Anyway, Sableye runs out of the place, which is smart. They're transforming that place into some sort of cocoon cave. Nearby construction workers next to Central Park are doing road work with an Ampharos, Conkeldurr, Girder, Watchog. It's really cool. And then some kids walk by with their parent. I would say this is relevant later, but kind of not really.
Yeah, I was really expecting these guys to actually do something because I was like, oh man, this is sick. Actually getting to see Pokemon being used for construction work like it says they are in the Pokedex.
And yet, weirdly, yeah. The thing that kind of is relevant later is the small family? Because they show them again later. They don't do anything, but it's the same kids. Anyway.
They were already here.
I'm getting ahead of myself. Sableye runs up to the crew to warn them about Genesect. Meanwhile, our cast tries to run into Pokemon Hills to stop the problem, and Eric goes, we shouldn't do that. They'll get mad. And then they run away in order to take a tunnel into Pokemon Hills. The Genesect continue to make their nightmare goo cave in there. Team Rocket is about to blow them up with a rocket launcher, which is impressive. Have they ever brought a rocket launcher to solve a problem?
I was assuming it was like a net gun.
Right, they've done net guns before, but I don't feel like we get to see what this thing actually is.
Mm.
So it's just a rocket launcher until proven otherwise.
Right, yeah. Genesect Prime sees them and disarms them by causing a giant explosion near them. They get disarmed. The rocket launcher flies into the air and lands in the goo roots. And they just sort of tumble and fall. Elsewhere, Mewtwo remembers that it's Mewtwo. Did you watch the first movie? Imagine that, but mildly different. It's a different looking lab. There's no Toku cyber suit. There's no dark tournament that Mewtwo runs. Mewtwo burns down the lab and leaves in a storm and is beaten down by the elements. And Pokemon go, come on in. We can all cuddle in here. And then they heal Mewtwo. And Mewtwo says that she found a place where she belongs and says Genesect deserves as much. The cast has now entered the inside of Pokemon Hills. Thank God we used that tunnel. We have 72 minutes to fill. And the purple Genesect from before apologizes for attacking them. Ash realizes they can't defy the prime shiny Genesect. The lights start to flicker. Eric reads a control panel and says, oh, according to this, it's out of control. And I'm like, that's not...
What?
An objective measurement of anything. What's happening? He then explains simply, if they do not fix what is happening right now, the Terminator 2 nuke scene will happen. And my mental image of Ash with his hands on the fence shaking it is like hitting so strong.
I couldn't figure it out. Like, oh no, the power grid went down. What was the knock-on effect from that? Did the riot start so fast and so furiously that every vehicle and television set in the city combusted?
Yeah, and then they just show that the roots are growing into the like power network, and they never seem to try and fix that.
No. Anyways, Mewtwo flies up to Genesect Prime and tells him that he shouldn't hurt the other Pokemon in the city. A battle breaks out between them, shaking the rocket launcher loose from the tree it landed in earlier. And oh my god, that might like hit the ground and go off and shoot a rocket. But no, it just looks like they're afraid that it will fall on Genesect's head. So Pikachu whips it out of the way so it does not fall on Genesect's head. So they are happy and friends and nuzzle each other. But elsewhere, Mewtwo and Genesect are fighting. They fly into the city and then above the water and then into the city. And then they shoot some blasts and Genesect fires a blast at a building. And Mewtwo says, stop it. People live in there. And I'm like, but your whole thing was the Pokemon and not the people.
You don't give a shit. This is virtue signaling to the highest degree.
It's like you were just over water. If you actually cared, you would be carrying this out over there. Then they fly super fast through the city. Imagine this takes minutes.
Yeah,
it's
a lot.
This is the movie watching Pokemon go really fast.
Well, they have extreme speed. The Japanese title told me so. So we have to see it.
Extreme speed's pretty extreme, bro. At Pokemon Hills, the Genesect all fight the nice one, who is friends with Pikachu. Pokemon enter the spire to protect the main cast. All the Genesect attack Ash, but the good Genesect tries to save him. It's damaged by this ambiguously. There's like no battle damage at all.
Yes, but explosion happened. So,
explosion happens, so it's sad and hurt. It looks really sad. And then its eyes turn off and everyone's like, oh no, its eyes aren't glowing red anymore. Oh no.
Genesect is dead.
The Prime Genesect and the other three Genesects start charging a blast to blow up all the Pokemon in the main cast. They unleash this blast, and Mewtwo stops it with the psychic barrier. Two. Actually, you know, this has already happened multiple times, and I just didn't write it down because it happens like six times
in
this movie.
Yeah, no, it keeps happening.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Why does this keep happening? Mewtwo and Genesect fight. More. Now it's a 1v4. This goes on for a bit inside of the cocoon. The good Genesect is in the water beneath the cocoon being hurt, and it sees the flower from earlier that it was like flowers like this grew where we used to live, and oh, I'm going to hold up this flower and think about that some more because that's the only thing in this film. And when it stands up in the water rolls off of it in a way that makes it look like it's crying.
And then it goes Super Saiyan.
That would have been so sick. It turns shiny and we're like, whoa.
I'm the red Genesect now.
Do we get to see a bird flying like superimposed on it?
Oh, that would be so good. The Prime Genesect tricks Mewtwo to follow it past the other Genesect who start covering Mewtwo in goo. Mewtwo immediately shrugs it off and starts whipping some ass. Ugh. What is with the goo arc? What is...
I guess they're supposed to be... It's like, oh, they're kind of like spiders. That's the only thing I got.
Why? Yeah,
they're bugs.
They're insects. I get it. But...
Except spiders aren't insects.
I'm done. Okay. Team Rocket is walking through the park. The lights go off. They fall into a hole and land on Durant. And they're like, oh. And then the Durant explode them out of the movie. Sad.
Fuck yeah, Durant.
They're so powerful.
Power goes out in the city. A blue fire erupts from underneath Pokemon Hills. The good Genesect starts punching the fire to put it out. Because the fire has encased the entire weird goo wood vein cocoon thing. The water type Pokemon from the Pokemon mob, who were supposed to solve things, start spraying it with water. Golems shoot sandstorms at it. Deerling and Sawsbuck do sand attack to try to put it out. Curlia uses its psychic powers to send water upward at it. None of it's working.
Yeah, this is purple fire. It's more powerful.
The evil purple Genesect see all of the Pokemon trying to stop the fire and the good Genesect, and then it clicks in their brain. Like, they just start making a lot of, like, really loud clicking sounds out loud, not using words to communicate. I'm like, what? You can all talk. Why are we just now clicking at each other? What's going on? But then fire kicks up and the three evil purple Genesect get trapped behind a firewall, and that's okay because Persian for Alligator are going to save him. Pretty cool. However, a giant flame licks up and owns the good Genesect, who then lands in the water beneath the cocoon again, hurt.
Uh-huh. Good movie.
Prime Genesect owns Mewtwo. Ash grabs Mewtwo and lifts her up as she was about to fall down past them. She then has a moment where she's like, no, I'm fine. I got this. I'm good. And then they have a beam clash between her and Genesect Prime. Ash explains that they need to stop and that every Pokemon has a place. And Ash is saying this to Mewtwo, even though that was the resolution Mewtwo kind of came to earlier in the movie. And then he begs for both of them to stop. And Prime Genesect goes, no one tells me what to do. And goes to attack.
Sir, you're parked across four spaces.
I'm a traveler.
Move your car.
All the Genesect fly up to tell Genesect Prime maybe to calm its tits. He shoots. Mewtwo stops it with the psychic barrier and says he refuses to learn, so Genesect Prime must be stopped, and flies up into lower orbit with Genesect to freeze the both of them.
I really thought he was going to throw Genesect into the sun. She was going to toss him into the fucking sun. We were going for that part where Sentry rips Carnage in half and throws him into the sun.
Right. I was thinking that's the plan, or just yeeting the bastard into space. And it's like, ooh, Genesect, you aren't Porygon. You can't go through space. See ya, bitch.
You're Rayquaza's problem now.
Who's that? It's Rayquaza with a solar beam.
Yeah, we get the ending where Mewtwo breaks off. Genesect is still going out, you know, because you can't reduce velocity in space. And it's... Rayquaza is just there charging the beam with
me. In my head, when you said, like, this is Rayquaza's problem now, I just saw, like, Nidhogg, the video game.
Oh,
so
yeah.
giant Rayquaza. Problem solved.
Instead, it's just literally the end of the Iron Man movie.
See, yeah, you brought that up. And my brain's just thinking about the Dragon Ball Super movie where they fly into low orbit and they have God Key.
See, I thought of Metal Gear because it's like the boss saw the Earth from space and that changed her entire perspective. So that has to happen to Genesect.
Yeah, it was like, oh, we're going to pale blue dot this bitch. All right.
See, I thought we were going JoJo Part 2 on this bitch and it was just going to be eventually. Genesect stopped thinking.
But yeah, they see the Earth from space and they're like, look how beautiful it is. This is where we live and everybody's our friend. And Genesect's like, wow, you're right. And its eyes change color. And they go, now let's return to our home. And Mewtwo passes out. Genesect's like, oh no. And then grabs Mewtwo to try to save them. But then they're both just burning up on reentry. And all the Genesect on the ground detect that they're falling and fly up to catch them. And then Ash goes, okay, Charizard, you help too. And I'm like, what?
And then Charizard comes out of the ball with Piccolo's outfit on, just like every other time he shows up.
Iris is like, yeah, Dragonite, you help as well. The Genesect are all burning up on reentry as they try to slow it down. And all I can think is Genesect going, Mew 3 could have been like a mother to me. And the other Genesect going, what? Because Char's Counterattack is a really good film. They all can't slow down enough, so the team on the ground realizes they need to make a sphere of water for them to crash into to soften the landing.
I like that. That's pretty clever.
You say that, but it reminds me of an episode of Mythbusters about throwing a mattress out onto a pool so they could jump on the mattress in order to soften the blow so they don't crash to the bottom of the pool, and it killed the dummy in every fucking case.
Well, yeah, but this is like an enormous sphere of water above the water, so they have even more water to fall through.
But they would just do the same thing you would do in the pool of crashing so hard into it that your body would hit the ground?
Not necessarily, because like the ball of water is, it's turbulent. It's constantly moving. It is going to be a softer landing than a still pool of water.
But what about a mattress? They should have thrown a mattress.
I feel like maybe not with the mattress.
Yeah, I feel like that's not going to do them any favors.
Damn. They soften the blow successfully with the water sphere, and Genesect says, everyone is friends. The sun rises. Ash sees the flower and says he realizes where they can call home. Eric says, ooh, we're safe. Acting like he did something at the control panel he's been bashing keys on this whole time.
Yeah, even though the real problem was that roots were connected to the circuit boards and on fire.
Yeah. Anyways, Ash remembered the painting from earlier in the movie, the only thing in the movie. And then Eric did a power painting of the flower, you know that one? So anyways, they go to the place. They're there now. Genesect start making a cocoon. Mewtwo says it was nice to meet them and she's glad to be their friend and flies away. Then the ending theme kicks in. This is where they do the millennial whoop for certain. And they talk about adventure coming their way. None of this, what they're showing, really has an impact. You know, sometimes the ending stuff has important things. But then all of a sudden, they reuse Team Rocket at the table reading the newspaper while the main cast walks by. An animated sequence from a different ending. Why did they recycle that? That's so bizarre. They truly just needed to fill time. And then the movie has the audacity to show all of these fifth-gen trainers and characters that should have been in these movies at all, at any point. So they would have characters, and that it even shows N walking on water towards the camera. Absolutely insane. And that is Pokemon Movie 16, Genesect and the Legend Awakened. Before we get to our segments, like what did we think about the representation of Pokemon in this movie and various other things, I would like to point out that you can get the next episode of Pokemon Go to the Movies early over at patreon.com/GB podcast, where you get all sorts of early access to this series, our Bleach series, Chugging Bleach, and also extra content such as Extra Premonitions for Gamer Premonitions, the show where gamer psychics tell you exactly what's going to happen in upcoming games. That is patreon.com/GB podcast. So let's get to our segments. first segment, the whimsy meter, on a scale of 1 to 10, how whimsical was this movie? We are starting with Bob.
This movie doesn't have much happening, but what is here is whimsical-ish.
Whimsy-shaped?
Yeah, I'm like, I'll give it a 6, because it's not like not whimsical. There is that scene with them floating around on the Genesect, and we have various shots of, oh, look at this garden, it's so happy. But that doesn't do anything to make it extremely whimsical or not whimsical.
Next, we go to Aggro.
I feel like this movie is kind of a splitting the difference sort of affair, because you've got this new Mewtwo being straight up a Disney princess, which is amazingly whimsical. But then you've also got this, like, RoboCop 2 plot where all these Pokemon are, like, revived after 300 million years and turned into evil mind-dominated cyborgs. So I really think we're going to even that out at, like, a 5.
Man, like, most of the situation in this movie, I was convinced that some human was controlling the Regenesect when they were going to get that reveal, and it was going to be neat and interesting. Instead, it's just like, no, that guy's just a jerk.
There's a driving force behind the events of this movie, right? Right?
I really think Bob is onto something with, like, there being some kind of mandate from on high where it's like, the villain can only at worst be misunderstood and convinced to change. Because that's been, like, the last 3.
Yeah, it's like I was saying. I feel like someone on high unleashed that mandate for some reason. Like, I don't know why. Maybe the writer's like, with more limitations, I will write better things. And they were wrong. Chris, where are you sitting on the whimsy meter?
5. I'm with Aggro. Like, on the one hand, you got the pale blue dot thing, which is kind of whimsical in, like, a grand way. And you got the writing on the Genesect. But then you have killer cyborgs.
Yeah, none of them, like, rip their head off while screaming, like RoboCop 2.
It's just 5. Middle of the road.
Shibigato.
This one is definitely tricky because, you know, the start is the usual saccharine bullshit where we go to a park and we let out all our Pokemon and they play around and have a good time. And I do love the inherent whimsy of Ash making friends with the one little Sableye who just hangs around and he's like, you know, sitting on the edge of the pier kicking his legs for a shot. That's pretty cute. And then the city is about to explode at any given moment. And I think once the actual Genesect plotline kicks in, we don't ever really go back to whimsy. So I'm going to have to give it like a 4.
The city could explode at any moment for no particular reason.
Look, electricity is involved. And nobody really knows how that works in the Pokemon universe.
Okay, I thought you were going to say in general.
I mean, that's statistically true here, too. But...
Yeah, I played the game Dead Island 2. Yeah, I'm going to, honestly, it does have the Disney Princess angle with Mew3, and it also has some whimsy, like seeing the planet and stuff like that, and the weird Burger King whimsy segment of, I'm on a hoverboard on water, isn't that neat? It's like, eh. I'm going to give it a 3. I'm really not feeling the whimsy this time. Next, we're going to the dex check. How good was the representation of Pokemon in this movie? Did they have the good ones? Were they good? We're going to go to Dr. Aggro. Aggro?
I feel like this is another Tale of Two Cities moment where, you know, when you've got the group shots of which Pokemon make up the local ecology, you've got some really nice mixes, a lot of solid choices. Durant representation is always appreciated by me. I fucking love Durants. You've got great scenes where Charizard and Dragonite share the same brain cell under cool orange dragon bros. And then you've got Mew3, who is a horrible abomination and shouldn't exist.
True.
And it just keeps showing up.
Just because they're a test tube baby does not mean you need to say that.
No, Doilian. Doilian shouldn't exist. Not whatsoever. shit, what was I going to say? I literally panicked for a second.
you were going to give it a dex check of 2.
You've also not got a lot of... it's getting kind of rare in these movies where you've got like actual team Pokemon moving the plot forward being especially utilized, except for like that Sableye. So I'm going to round this one out at like a 6.
Okay, we go to Chris next.
I really liked the workers, that segment where you had Girder and Conkeldurr. Stupid fucking name.
I love his name. It's so good.
But I don't know. I feel like there's Gen 5 Pokemon I like much more that weren't in this. You know, it's hard to hold a candle to Golurk whipping ass in the Victini movie.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm only going to be able to give this 5, sadly.
Shibuyagato.
You know, a lot of the time with these dex checks, you've got, you know, it's predominantly the generation this movie is from and also Gen 1 Pokemon. But then they threw shit like Ampharos at me. Then they threw shit like Croconaw and Feraligatr having like major roles to play. Mm-hmm. That is not something I would have called in a million fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
You have the sequence with a bunch of the different regional birds at the start. Like, fucking Swellow's there. That's not one that I would have expected. A bunch of the Beautifly in Central Park or whatever the fuck it's called. It's not the best dex check we've ever had. Do not get me wrong. There's more niche picks I would have liked. But again, shit like Durant. Not what I would have expected. Genuinely surprised. I think I'm giving it a 7. It's very solid on this one.
Okay. This is the first time for a dex check, I feel like, and it could have happened, you know, we've been running this series for over a year now, where I feel like on paper they have really good Pokemon. Oh no. I forgot to read every. Oh no.
You can do it. You can do it after.
It's fine. You can do it at the end.
This. I'm just going to do it now.
Oh no.
Oh God. Right, Godspeed.
Boy. Middle. So, on paper, we have Pikachu, Meowth, Axew, Charizard, Oshawott, Pignite, Snivy, Livani, Excadrill, Emolga, Dragonite, Pansage, Crustle, Stunfisk, Audinoe, Eevee, Electabuzz, Metang, Girder, Conkeldurr, Watchog, Ampharos, Genesect, Mewtwo, Caterpie, Butterfree, Paris, Parasect, Persian, Geodude, Graveler, Golem, Chansey, Mew, Feraligatr, Ladybot, Bellossom, Whooper, Houndour, Whooper. Whoop'em, Whooper! Whooper, Houndour, Houndoom, Wurmple, Beautifly, Lotad, Swellow, Ralts, Curlia, Surskit, Masquerains, Shroomish, Sableye, Starly, Staraptor, Roserade, Herdier, Pidove, Unpheasant, Woobat, Swoobat, Swaddle, Dwebble, Deerling, Sawsbuck, Clink Clank. Really?
Yeah, what?
Oh, it was on TV.
Huh.
Swanna, Braviary, Basculin, Durant, Nidorina, Nidorino, Vulpix, Oddish, Sentret, Ferret, Teddy Ursa, Tangrowth, Whimsicott, Petalil, Mincino, Cincino, Swanna, Mienfu, and Heatmore. On paper, we have a pretty good selection, but here's the problem. This is the most ever. I feel like, yeah, but you wasted them all. Like, it barely feels like you had a neat idea for a specific Pokemon to do a specific thing.
Yeah, most of those were just pan over shots.
And those that have actions in the movie barely do anything specific. Many things shoot beams. It feels like they didn't go, well, this Pokemon's neat for this reason, so we will have a cute sequence that features it doing blank outside of the construction crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is it. So in that sense, I'm really disappointed in what they did here, not necessarily what they had show up. Also, they drew Roserade looking like total shit. That's like the worst animated Pokemon in the movie. That really upset me. I'm giving it a 4 and going to Bob.
Yeah, as we just went over, like, there are a ton of Pokemon actually in this. I think that's a great selection of Pokemon. They don't feel like they're in the movie. They really don't. And also, it doesn't have any, like, select Pokemon that I'm like, oh man, my boy.
Which is weird because all gens are on tap now because this is Black and White too.
Right.
That's why we have such cross-gen representation here.
So yeah, I'm gonna let it sit at a 6 because I do appreciate how many Pokemon are here. It's way big upgrades from last time where it was what 12 Pokemon?
Well, I mean,
we
by
had, like,
mass,
12 total. Yeah.
By mass, the movie was Cryogonal and Krogunkle Grandpa.
You know, Bob, it's not too late to become a huge Durant fan. And reap those benefits like I did.
I mean, I was extremely thrilled Durant was here. Bob?
I like Durant, but he gets an A scene. They Which should, is lower than Durant usually gets.
The Durant should have just started gnawing on the roots, and that would have been enough for me to be like, incredible.
Yeah, okay, that would have taken up a point for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have been like, oh shit, look at Durant really bringing it together. Excited for the next movie where everything will be solved by Pumpkaboo?
Yes!
Fuck yeah. Hell yes!
Let's fucking go.
Main character's Jesse, finally.
That would be the first Pokemon movie to make $1 billion.
Yes.
We're moving on to our next segment, the gun check. Could this movie have been better solved with a gun? This is a yes or no segment, and we're starting with Chris. Chris, what do you think?
No. In fact, I believe this is the first Pokemon movie so far where it could be resolved by removing a gun.
Huh.
You're so right.
Like, Team Plasma clearly thought a gun would help and were wrong.
Ah! I'm speechless. Shibuya, what do you think?
I think if there were ever a case for gun control in the Pokemon world, this is it. I think we need stricter gun laws in terms of giving them to Pokemon, as in, don't ever fucking do that.
Right?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Somebody's going to be like, I am a scientist. I'm doing science, as they put a fucking gun into Apom's hand.
It's over if Apom gets one. Are you kidding me? Millions are dead. But anyway, no, guns do not solve this in any way, shape, or form.
It's just the inch of the lawnmower, man, at that point.
We watched that after this movie. I don't know why. No, I do know why. I looked at the characters in Two Human and went, man, they have a real Lawnmower Man quality to their face. Oh yeah, I need to rewatch Lawnmower Man. It's been 30 years. Anyway, I was going to write no for the gun check, but I feel like we've had some strong words here, and I need to make sure people understand where I stand on this. Guns don't kill people. Pokemon do.
Yes, with the guns.
Thank you, Lieutenant Sir.
You're welcome. Bob, what do you think?
I'm going to say, the only reason Red Genesect survived and lasted so long against Mewtwo and Mew3 is because Mewtwo doesn't like hurting other Pokemon. It held back. If Ash had a 45, he wouldn't hold back.
Holy fuck!
Ash, how did you know that one was evil? Well, it was a different color from the... Okay, Ash, and they pick up Ash and throw him in a van before he can say more.
He's not wrong. Like, there's that scene where he fucks up Pikachu, and Ash is looking at him floating there in the air, and I'm thinking, man, if you weren't 20 feet off the ground, you'd be fucking dead right now.
Yeah, Minotaurs aren't too good at jumping, sadly.
The moment he gets a dragon punch down, everyone's fucked.
Yeah, no, it's over.
Yeah, do not give Ash an invincible reversal.
So that is yes.
Yes, that's a yes.
Now we move on to Dr. Aggro.
Well, I guess that opens up the question of whether or not we think Genesect being cyborg bugs are bulletproof.
I don't think their eyes are.
Oh my Jesus.
Well, like, I guess, you know, your mind has to wonder when they didn't show any real battle damage on that one. It's like, what does battle damage look like? And Bob's place went to the mind went to the darkest place possible with that. It's just like, its eyes shatter.
I'm assuming they've got to be pretty durable, and there are like five of the fucking things. I don't think anybody with small arms would be fast or accurate enough to completely neutralize that threat before being overwhelmed. They're gonna have to give it a no.
I'd also like to remind you that the Red Genesect survived leaving the Earth's orbit. You know how much pressure there is in the vacuum of space? If that thing did not shatter upon leaving the atmosphere, there is no way a gun will shatter anything on it.
The Pokemon movie where they're like, so we're gonna get this Pokemon over the ocean. We're going to strap it with so many weights it gets dragged to the bottom, and then we let go, and the pressure change kills it.
Well, you see, Shibuya, the perfect time to shoot it was when it came down from space, because it's metal, so the rapid heating and cooling.
You're hoping it just cuts through the molten metal and kills it like it hits the brain.
No. When it hits the water, it'll be cooled so quickly its entire metal body will become extremely brittle. We didn't see it, but it just shattered like 10 minutes after the movie, and it took a step now, wrong, and its whole body just exploded.
Chris, I have an important question for you. Who can make the shot of it falling from orbit?
Ash.
You think Ash has the fucking sniping capability?
You know, we don't know that the aura doesn't give him some sort of extra sight or something else. He's yet to be armed, so we really don't know.
Yeah, I assume the aura just gives him, like, machine-like precision.
I mean, as long as he's making that shot over the water, the fact that he's king of the ocean means that he has control of all things that
he
happen.
He does not have the crown! He's no longer the king of the ocean!
Maybe he can retake the throne. One moment. Maybe there's an ascension method. We gotta move on. So we gotta talk about the MVP, the most valued Pokemon in this movie. And Shibuya Gato gets to lead the charge. Who was it?
That's awesome. I'm going to be controversial, and I'm going to say the MVP of this film was the Persian who knew both Shadow Ball and Water Gun.
I know!
Insane type coverage, first of all. Second off, it reminded me of the Persian I used to beat Gen 4.
Oh, hell
that
yeah.
Had Water Pulse. That bitch demolished some of Cynthia's team, and I respect it.
That's
so
awesome.
So anytime I see a good Persian, I'm like, I miss you, King. I miss him so much. It's him for me. Easy.
See, this was funny. We were watching with Spaceman Spiff. First time, I was like, just so you know, watching a Pokemon movie with me, I'm pausing it every 5 minutes to write notes. So that's what you're signing up for. But we get to a certain part of the movie, he's like, everyone's using these bizarre moves that aren't, like, really tied to what Pokemon they are. And I'm like, nah, if you went to see this in theaters, you got the trading card for Dream Eater Persian.
I have noticed that, like, almost like how in different eras of, like, a shonen series, characters lean more towards new different specific moves. Pikachu's been bringing out Steel Tail a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Iron Tail becomes a main part of his moveset from here out.
And they think it's the coolest thing, which makes sense. Pikachu has a tail, should probably use it more.
It lets him do a lot of cool fight scenes in Sun and Moon, so I get it.
I can't wait until he breaks out the Electric Wind God Fist.
Yes!
Please look forward to that in the Gen 9 anime.
Yippee!
The resolution of the movie where the Genesect is just stuck in a juggle state for like 20 minutes. Because Pikachu just keeps using Electric Wind God Fist.
Pikachu, could you stop Korean backdashing, please?
So when's the Pokemon movie where Pikachu throws someone into a volcano?
The Pokin film.
Fantastic, thank you.
He throws a Pichu in the fucking volcano.
No!
Imagine this is all in Detective Pikachu, so it's hyper realistic.
Oh my god. Watching Detective Pikachu hit a taunt jet upper.
There's just a Slugma on the edge of the volcano watching this shit happen who will be traumatized for the rest of his little life.
Throws the Pichu in, it's like, oh, that was just like Tekken. Holds up Plusle mine and throws them in, and I'm like, that is also like Tekken.
So does the Raichu get like strapped to a rock and launched to space?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mewtwo does it. Mewtwo flies Raichu into space because it's full of hate.
And then in one of the sequel movies, Agumon comes in to beat the shit out of Pikachu for what he's done, like Akuma does to Heihachi.
Holy crap.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no, my God. It's still just Akuma.
This guy gets around. Oh, man, I do want to see Ash with the aura versus Akuma.
That would rule.
That would fucking rule so bad. Aggro, I genuinely mean this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Durant is my MVP for this film.
Yeah!
Dope.
Durant's so cool. Even just being on screen is enough for me, where I'm just like, hey, you're the highlight, buddy. Keep it up. I really thought it was weird that I didn't get more awesome fifth gen representation this film because the fucking movie makers are like, oh, thank God, we can pull from any gen. We can put any Pokemon we want in this movie. Okay, put a bunch of birds. What do they do? Fly. Okay, put Durant. What does it do? Stands there and an explosion happens. You had the entire history of Pokemon to pull from, and you just said, I don't know, they stand there and do a beam.
Yeah.
Anyway, Durant's cool, though, so I'm giving it to Durant. It would have gone to Roserade. If they just didn't draw Roserade, like, total shit, I was screaming. I was so upset. I love Roserade. The animation quality was never once good on Roserade.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Bob, was yours Durant?
I have to give it to Chansey.
Oh!
Yeah!
Let's go!
I mean, Chansey's just there to prove that Ash is always right.
And that Team Rocket will be like, ooh, free jokes, and pick them up off the ground.
Yes. They overheard it from Ash earlier, so they know that they can get away with it.
Aggro, who is your MVP?
Now that, thankfully, somebody's picked Durant and Chansey, I get to give it to maybe the most badass for alligator I've ever seen.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Like the Genesect crash in the wall, everybody starts freaking out and running around, and he turns around and busts out flamethrower.
Yeah, that's a real Dan Tott and Fernape Thunder Punch moment. Right? It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Later on, the humans show up. They're like, what's going on inside Pokemon Hills? Because all the Poke refugees are hanging out outside. And then, like, Feralligator gets tossed through a wall because he's still in there fighting five Genesect. So fucking rad.
Yeah, it was crazy. Didn't expect to come to a Gen 5 movie for Feralligator moments. Chris.
I'm looking upon a wasteland. I'm down to like my fourth one. I'm just gonna give it to Charizard. I'm gonna be the Charizard guy just this once because I was thrilled to see Charizard. It's like, yeah.
I thought Shibuya was gonna be the Charizard guy, but you're just like,
you let me have
that.
Persian. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Would have been great if he had popped out earlier to save Ash from the villain somehow, but they're not allowed to have villains anymore.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Ash used any of his Pokemon earlier in the movie, like any of them at all, instead of like just yelling.
Next segment, is Ash in a coma? This is a yes or no segment. We get to take the details of this movie and decide whether or not this proves and supports the argument that Ash is in a coma. I get to start this segment. No, but here's the weird thing. I feel like this might, if it were to occur before the other films, provably show that when Ash was freezing up in orbit in the other movie, that was him remembering this event and applying it to himself. However, obviously this movie comes after that one, so that just doesn't make sense. So I'm going to give it a no. Bob.
Yeah, I have to give it a no as well. It feels like it's not weird enough to be a weird coma dream, and it has nothing to do with Ash, basically. Like, there's nothing here, in my opinion, that supports the coma theory.
Aggro, we're going to go to you next, and if you say yes because Ash went, what if Mewtwo was a girl? I swear to God. So, I mean, Aggro.
That's not why.
Hey, no,
I
what do you
think sometime after the events of Kyurem and the Sword of Justice, Ash is now in a coma and he is mixing around a lot of his memories. The jostled state of his brain from the horrible trauma of the accident has jangled loose him having met Mewtwo, but he doesn't actually, like, the psychic barrier is still trying to keep those memories back, so it's warped and distorted now. And also, his brain is trying to create a story about these, you know, Pokemon coming from deep in the past to represent those memories becoming unlocked. But Ash can't design new Pokemon for shit, which is how we get Genesect, and how there's just five Genesect, and how one of them's different, so it's the red one. It's also why it takes place in an absolutely, completely fictional city like Manhattan instead of any real place in the Pokemon universe.
Ash dreamt up fifth gen? Is that what you're...
He always wanted to go to America.
Chris, do you think Ash is in a coma?
Yes, and Ash has been in a coma so long, his family no longer visits, so the TV isn't on anymore, so his coma fantasies no longer have things to, like, attach to and start integrating into the delusion, so that's why they've become really flat and boring.
Maybe he watched Iron Man right before he went into the coma.
Maybe.
Shibuya Gato, what are you thinking?
So, this Genesect that really desperately wants to go to a home that no longer is, that it can never go back to again, I feel like you can make the argument that that's, like, Ash's repressed memories of the accident bleeding through, like, I want to go home, and then there's no home to go back to. Everything burned down. Now, I don't think this is in a coma. I genuinely think that if it was a coma dream, this would be a Mewtwo that remembers meeting Ash.
Yeah. You would think if he was constructing his own fantasy that it would be like, and a Mewtwo is there and he's my friend.
And Mewtwo called me awesome because of that last time that I met Mewtwo, and it was really cool.
Mewtwo shows up and says, I'm poggers, and then we play Fortnite together.
And then we hit the gritty on the Genesect.
Man, these movies got weird. Well, that's going to bring us to our next segment. Arceus Ex Machina. How big are the plot holes just so the movie ends on the status quo of the show? We're going to start this segment with Bob.
It self-contained-wise doesn't have plot holes that prevent it from going back into the show, but it has a big plot hole of what's Mewtwo? This isn't our Mewtwo. Is this a new Mewtwo? So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 0. Or I guess a 10, because that's how this works.
Yeah,
yes. It's an extremely big plot hole of, like, this Mewtwo makes no sense.
Okay. But what if this is just girl Mewtwo?
It could just be another Mewtwo, but I feel like they should explain that, and Ash should remember
Giovanni's,
or something.
Giovanni's just like, oh, what if it was a girl? It wouldn't own us and blow up the lab then, right? And everyone just looks at him like, why does he think that? I'm so terrified to ask him why he thinks that it made sense.
The HR guy looks at him and just goes, oh, fucking Christ, not again.
Okay, sir, we'll make a Mewtwo that's a girl, and it definitely won't also break your heart.
If the new Mewtwo gets mad, we can just point her to where there's a mall, and she'll just go shopping, right?
Everyone around Giovanni is just head in hands, not even looking at him anymore.
Like, you know what I'm saying, right, Rhyhorn? And Rhyhorn's just walking out the fucking door.
Giovanni's like, finally, a woman in my life who won't take half the things I own.
Why has he just become that comedian? Just so we're clear, though, we're making this Mewtwo because I'm sexist and not because I'm a freak who wants to see a girl version of a Pokemon for devious reasons. Sir, the less you say, the happier we all are. Aggro, I would ask you what you think the girl Mewtwo would do, but that's not what this segment actually is. This is the Arceus Ex Machina segment.
Girl, what that Mewtwo do? So yeah, there are now an indeterminate number of Mewtwos in the world.
It's true.
Who knows how many black sites were also producing redundant Mewtwos? Who knows how many were able to keep them under control and how many escaped to become weird bird friend vigilantes? There's also another question, though. Like, that'd be a huge problem if this movie took place in the same dimension as the rest of the stuff. Because, once again, we're in fucking Manhattan. Not like, hey, look, it's a comic book city with tall buildings, wink, wink. This isn't fucking Gotham. They're in, like, the south end of Manhattan. What the fuck?
Any second now, the turtles are going to come up through the sewers.
I made that joke so many times.
Yeah, they should have had the part where Ash gets knocked off something and Spider-Man shoots a web.
Yeah, no, so the fact that we've somehow reverse isekai bridged the Pokemon universe back into reality and it's just never addressed, I'm gonna have to give this a 10.
Chris, where are you coming in?
Oh, there's no Arceus Ex Machina. There was no plot holes. There's barely a plot.
I agree with
the
that.
The only plot hole is Ash doesn't recognize Mewtwo, and it's like, oh, that movie was 15 years ago.
Ash is eternally young, but his mind has Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So to scale 1 to 10?
2.
Shiba Yagato.
There's a second fucking Mewtwo running around. What do you mean there's no plot holes? What do you... Literally, how many Team Rocket bases into independently followed the same fucking research and created genetic freak psychic Pokemon that can tear down an entire metropolitan city.
Well, Team Rocket is a Silicon Valley company now, so it has like 20,000 employees and none of its divisions talk to each other. So they create redundant Mewtwos constantly.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a little plot hole. Like, we're just not addressing that there's two Mewtwos, at least.
And five Genesects. It's that easy.
When are we getting the third Mewtwo? You know, because they have the other form.
Yeah, what's it?
Well, hey, we'll wait for Gen 6 and maybe they'll do it there. For now, 5 out of 10 for five Genesects. That's where I'm sitting.
See, that's very fitting because I'm giving it a 2 out of 10 for there are two Mewtwos. Aside from the Mewtwo thing, I think everything about this movie is, you know, above the table and kosher. Unfortunately, Aggro, Pokemon decided that the Pokemon universe just has Manhattan. I don't know why, but we have to live with it.
I do not accept this.
Fair enough. Now we've reached the segment where we have to rate the movie. As you know, we rate it on a 1 to however many Pokemon are in the regional decks for the movie taking place scale. The problem is they have Mew 3 this time, which as we know is a 6th gen Mega Evolution. But here's the problem. Mega Evolutions do not have a unique number in the Pokedex entry.
Right. They're not. That's on new Pokemon. Mm-hmm. That's a Mega Evolution.
So we're in a quantum state of, is this a 5th gen or 6th gen movie as it pertains to the rating? We're going to poll each person and democracy will win. Shiba Yagato, I'll let you lead the charge.
Now, it is true that Mega Evolutions do not appear in the Gen 6 decks. Officially, anyway. but if we make it a Gen 6 rating scale, then I have a very funny number for mine. So I think I'd like to vote for Gen 6. This is a Gen 6 movie for the sake of the bit.
I did not expect the ulterior motives end of this.
The integrity on display is just heartwarming.
Aggro, you sound like you have some things to say. Let's go to you next.
Yeah, the thing doesn't have a Dex number. It should not affect the Dex number dependent activity. That it's basically, oh, look, a 6th gen move.
Yeah, kind of.
Chris, what do you think?
It's called Best Wishes. It's a 5th gen movie.
Oh, that's a strong argument, too. Bob.
Yeah, like we were just saying, it's not a new Pokemon. It's not a number. It doesn't have a number for Pokedex. I gotta say, we have to say it's a 5th gen.
Well, it doesn't matter what I say anymore. The majority is going towards it's a 5th gen movie, but I would like to say, I don't think Mega Evolutions are street legal in New York. So I feel like it should have maybe just been 5th gen based on that knowledge that if you had that stone somehow hacked into that game, it wouldn't work. But democracy wins. This is a 5th gen scale, which means, of course, we will be working on the 1 to 649 scale.
That's a lot.
How comprehensive.
We're starting the ratings with Aggro. Aggro, where does this movie land on a 1 to 649 scale?
I'm going to give it a 420.
Let's go.
There was a lot of stuff in this movie that that's really cool. It doesn't add up to a great film. A lot of it's pretty dumb. I hate a lot of the principal designs involved, but you know, it was inoffensive. It was quick and some neat stuff happened.
Chris.
289. This was really, it was better than the last one, but it barely. I can only say it's only barely better. It really does feel like we reached the point where it's like, we've done 15 of these. Like, they're the yearly anime tie-in movie now. We're honestly lucky they're not down to 45 minutes like a Dragon Ball movie.
Is that luck?
No, but...
One moment. I'm going to have to watch Genesect and The Legend Awakened back-to-back with the truck special and see how I feel.
Oh,
that's
God.
A TV special. It's not a movie.
Yeah, and it might win.
I mean, one of these is covered in dream theaters.
So. Right!
I think the only proper thing to do with that is to watch the Trunk special next to the Raikou TV special, and then you can compare the two.
Ooh, that actually sounds challenging. Hmm.
Ooh.
Well, Trunks is real, so he wins.
No, Raikou has not been proven fake yet.
That's true.
There was a shiny one in that other movie. He is real.
He's legit. Shibuya, what do you give this movie on a 1-2 incredibly enormous number scale?
It might just be... I think part of my reasoning for this is because, you know, the last movie was abyss fiction and awful, and I've already erased most of it from my memory for my own sanity. And I think part of it is just, you know, I don't rate most Pokemon movies as actual films. I rate them as Pokemon movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a Pokemon movie, I don't expect phenomenal plot. I don't expect insanely good character or world building. I expect to have a little bit of fun and be even slightly moved by what's going on. And this movie ended up doing both of those for me. I think tying it back into Mewtwo, which is a character we already care about to some degree, was a smart move, even if it's not, you know, our Mewtwo from the first movie. And I wish we could get rid of the 10-minute fluff of the legendaries talking to each other at the start, but it's not bad. I had fun with this one, despite its problems. I'm giving it a 600.
Okay, I go next. Yeah, this feels so similar to the prior film from a what the narrative is anchored on and what's sort of going on with the film. It feels really bizarre that we've removed all human agency in order to add like actual evil into the plot of these Pokemon movies. And I kind of am deeply envious of like the weird dragon philosophers back in the fucking Zekrom Reshiram movie. Like, that was delightful.
Yeah, I keep thinking back to that one with the crazy pirate man. I'm like, oh my God, it's not been that good since.
That guy's a pretty high
bar. Yeah.
And this is a radical statement, but this movie made me miss Shaman?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, that's terminal.
Vile. Oh God.
I do miss the divorced guy with the crypto fortress.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they had strong energies to them, and nothing in this film does. When you make your conflict come out of misunderstanding and a Pokemon, which you have given in a lot of these cases childlike intellect, it doesn't have a good scope or backbone to the conflict. It's just, well, they misunderstood.
And you could maybe have made like the Kyurem shit work. If it wasn't like, well, Ash is also part of
it. In a lot of ways, this frustrates me more than the last movie, but as time marches on, I will remember Kyurem versus the Swords of Justice, not only because the ambiguity of being one of the legendary swords, but more importantly, like, the weird gag that was we keep running away from the snowflakes and having these vehicles go off in different directions. And for some reason, they get tricked every time. Like, that doesn't make sense. Why did they find a Zeppelin in a train museum? But here, I don't have a whole lot to hold on to. It's just Central Park. It's got Pokemon Hills, which isn't even like they acted like it was some amazing thing. But for things we've seen in the Pokemon world, really not that amazing.
Yeah,
kind
it seems
of
like
just
a really,
greenhouse.
Yeah, really normal park, actually.
Yeah.
And for that reason, that's why I'm coming in so low on this. I think you can all understand. I'm going to give it 110, and the only reason why it's higher than the prior movies because Vic isn't in it. Hey, Bob, what do you think of Pokemon Movie 16?
Yeah, this movie is really frustrating because it has a lot of things going on that could be cool.
Yes.
It should be cool watching Mewtwo and a Genesect fight in the city, but it's not. It just isn't. It just feels like it keeps going and nothing happens.
Yeah.
There could be something interesting with this Genesect looking for a new home, but that's not really what this movie's about. That is Ash remembered one thing from the movie and it's solved. So yeah, it feels like nothing's really here. It's just the 70 minutes of gone. Which means it's a little better than the last movie. I'm going to give it a 70.
Fucking crazy.
So I didn't really talk about it too much at all in the synopsis, and thank you for bringing it up. When they fight in the city and they can't do damage to the city in a meaningful way because, I don't know, they're just against violence in Pokemon movies that are scary. I thought back to the third gen movie where they're just kidnapping all the people in the tech utopia, dumping them in a warehouse. That was cool as hell.
There are so many things this movie is like, oh man, this was cool in a different movie. Like, they could have done something neat. Like that other one where it's just blowing up the city, basically, is they fight.
Yeah, for some reason, this just didn't... Like, and I don't want to sit there and sound like that tired old thing. They're like, oh, they don't make movies like they used to. Everything's got to be kid-friendly and stuff. But it's like, in this, I've literally watched this exact franchise just do mildly scary or a mildly violent version of this that was much more interesting.
And it always just kills a movie for me if you don't have, like, a single real new human character. You need something happening in the plot. And we had nothing. We had Eric.
Yeah. Good old Eric.
I can't believe you're blaming Eric for this bad movie. But that brings our total number of points up to 1,489, which is a number. I want to thank you for listening to Pokemon Go to the Movies. You don't have to Pokemon Go home, but you can't Pokemon stay here.
Dan, can I just suggest a fun little thing to do before we formally end?
Oh yeah, sure. What's
up? So we now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 8 films left.
Mm.
And you know, it's been a while since Team Rocket's done anything meaningful. I would say the last movie where they did anything except show up and job was maybe the Giratina movie. So I'd like to just suggest that we place our bets. Of the 8 films left, how many will Team Rocket have a proactive part in?
Okay, I'm putting this down so we can look back on this and see who was the closest right.
Yeah, I'm genuinely curious.
So we're talking like actually have to materially affect the outcome.
Yeah.
Like they actively attempt to engage with the plot beyond showing up, saying a thing, and then jobbing to, you know, a Durand. So like, I'm not counting the Arceus movie where they were raiding the ruins and then not having anything to do with the actual Arceus plot.
Right.
Okay. So what we need to say is a number. The number of movies from now. So if it's the next movie, one movie.
Oh, I thought there was going to be how many of the movies from now on.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, I thought it was how many movies until. Oh, no. Mm. This is actually...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because this way, if there are multiple left, then we don't have to necessarily know the plot. It's just a matter of, will they do anything?
Mm. Okay, one moment.
And everyone needs to remember, we are watching Detective Pikachu.
Yes, Detective Pikachu is part of the 8 that are left.
So the number is at least 1, because that was relevant. They were behind that, right?
I thought they were the main group, but now I'm not sure anymore.
Now I'm not sure anymore either. I saw it in a theater once, and then every time it went on sale, I'm like, eh.
Now, are we defining Team Rocket as the entire organization, or the actual Team Rocket of the show? Like Jesse James and Meowth.
I would say...
Fuck. Okay.
Personally, I would say either, because if Team Rocket has a meaningful part in the plot, like I would say in this movie, technically they do, because they created the second fucking Mewtwo. So they had something to do with it, but...
I think that we should be hammering in on is Jesse James and Meowth, because they are the Team Rocket we care about.
But then Detective Pikachu wouldn't count in that instance because those three don't show up in that movie.
So, yeah, I don't think they should count. I don't think that should count. I think it should only be Jesse James and Meowth.
Okay, let's do that version just because those are the people we care about.
Fair.
Those are the ones we love. We just want them to be an important part of the movie.
Would people like a list of what films we have left?
No, that would be cheating.
Yeah, that would be cheating.
Let's go ahead and start. With Aggro, 1 to 8, how many movies do you think?
Okay. My answer is based on 2 factors. The first is an enormous amount of faith that we are due for an upswing and a dramatic change in the writing standards for these films. And the second is my bottomless faith in my ability to absolutely bullshit my way into proving anything was actually anything else. 3.
Chris.
4.
Bob.
2.
Shibuya.
I will also say 2.
I will also say 2.
Let's go!
Which means somewhere around 2.6 movies out of the next 8 will feature Team Rocket as we know and love them, maybe doing a thing that's important.
I'm trying to affect the plot ever.
Please. 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 Anyways, I already said the real slogan, so now I get to do this new one. Pokemon, leave me alone. Let me Pokemon play the game.